today we embark upon subject matter regeneration. A dissertation carried a theme, the scriptural doctrine of regeneration, which engenders eternal justification and sanctification. It is such a blessing that we are the recipients of such glorious insight into the eternal workings of God.
Yes.
What God in eternity declared, decreed, actualized. Oh yes, all of it. Amen. Is actualized or has come into existence in God's blessed decree. We shall, for the next year or so, focus on this glorious doctrine, which entails many, many things. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Our focus will be on verse 5. And hopefully by the time we conclude our exposition through this glorious doctrinal insight, you will have indelibly impressed into your hearts and your mind the readings of this verse, verse 5 of Titus. In corroboration,
yes.
Matthew. Said, Pastor, going to Matthew? Yep. In corroboration, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Here we will juxtapose, we will outlay side by side what regeneration is in the body of Christ versus what regeneration is in the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, there's only one salvation plan, but there are two placement plans. One is eternally earthly, and the other one is eternally heavenly.
Oh, glory.
In the New Testament, there is only two instances where the word regeneration is used. When I said the New Testament, what is referred to the New Testament, I should say it is used one time in the New Testament and one time in the Grace Testament. But we use their terminology. In our gospel, and this is where we will always start, because when we read from other portions of the Bible, we always do it from the vantage point of what we know.
That's right.
And what we know is the most advanced knowledge that God has given. The revelation of the mystery of that which is in those 14 epistles written to the Apostle Paul. Amen. I like to say that is the calculus and the differential equation aspect of arithmetic.
Amen.
Here you have advanced and enlightened knowledge that takes you up into the stratum of where God dwells, and we can eternally survey the workings of God and what He what He has done and what He has accomplished. That is the best view, I might say. Amen. That is the blessing that God has bestowed upon the church. Paul speaks of this information as having been hid from ages and now revealed, amen, not known by some of the greatest men that we look at in the Bible, Moses and Elijah and the prophets, even the disciples. They never knew this information that is available to us now. And so we should always, no matter what part of the Bible you're reading from, do it from the vantage point of what is known now.
It's all right
to look back upon the horse and the carriage, but do it from where we are now, because
yes.
I don't think you will see, hardly ever see, it's rare to see a horse hooked up to a carriage riding down the street. Amen. It's no good to know about it. Amen. But we're advanced now. We all drive automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
So from the vantage point of where we sit, we see the eternal workings of God, which causes us to be able to put into perspective the things that are in time.
Yes.
The events that happen, the occurrence that happen, the incidents and mishaps that happened in Louisiana this week, Hurricane Katrina, and all of that, as devastating as that is, amen, the only way to bring any sense and any understanding to it is to look from the heavenly eternal view.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be able to see it as an incident that's happening in time. And I say to you that whatever is going on in your life and whatever contention and confrontation that come, it is an incident on your way to eternal bliss. I might say that which is already established. And that is the fact that in eternity, God placed you and positioned you in the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're already there.
Already.
This is what we shall look at this morning as we look at this doctrinal term regeneration. One of the most misunderstood of all. In Titus chapter 5, everybody got it? Say amen. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Titus chapter 3. Well, Deacon, as always, you know, we don't ever jump in the middle of something that's dangerous. Start reading at verse 1, and we shall go through. Oh my God. I tell you what, why don't you just read down through verse 7. Read it from the King James, and then we're going to go to the Greek text. And of course, I know you got your Greek Bible, and hopefully we have passed out some, and I hope that at some point everyone who is a regular attendee here will have it, the actual Greek reading. But it is from these manuscripts that we have more confidence in digging out and bringing to understanding the conveyances.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everyone has the Titus 3 and 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, read it.
Titus chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
verse 1. From the King James.
Uh-huh.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work,
mm-hmm.
to speak evil of no man.
Man, that is tough, isn't it? but see, we bring it into perspective here. Keep reading. I don't want to get into that.
To be no brawlers,
mm-hmm.
but gentle,
mm.
showing all meekness unto all men.
Oh my God, isn't that something? How are you going to do all of that?
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish.
That's what we got to look at.
Disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Serving divers lusts
mm-hmm.
and pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
Living in malice
mm-hmm.
and envy.
Mm-hmm.
Hateful
mm-hmm.
and hating one another.
I don't think anybody here read through that litany and came out whistle clean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Nobody. Nobody escaped it, huh? That's why we don't sit here drawing up a list of things, and Paul just touched on some things there, and we didn't survive that.
That.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we called out a few, and then others we don't want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we read that, we go, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verse 4.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior
mm-hmm.
toward man appeared.
Toward us appeared.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Uh-huh.
But according to His mercy.
According to His mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us. According to His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He saved us.
Yes.
According to His mercy.
Yes, sir.
You wonder why you're saved? You say, because according to His mercy.
His mercy.
Right.
Which means dominated by those whom He speaks up and said, I will have mercy
mm-hmm.
upon who I will have mercy.
Right.
Of those whom God in eternity
right.
determined to have mercy upon.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Not all men.
Not all.
But those of His elect.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get into scripted analysis of God's methodology of placing us
mm-hmm.
in the body of Christ.
All right.
But Deacon, I want you to read this kind of slowly, not too slowly, but that last phrase there, beginning with by. Everybody look closely.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Last phrase.
Mm-hmm.
By the washing of regeneration.
By the washing of regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
The washing of regeneration. Read.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Now, we shall focus there for the next year or so. It tells how God saved you. It tells what you are in Him.
Mm-hmm.
It tells what God has made you.
Yes.
There are two words there we shall focus on. Regeneration and renewing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're going to have to get into the grammar to break it down.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Because from this, Christendom have gone, Christendom has gone all over the place
yes, indeed.
With some terms,
mm-hmm.
with different terms and terminology.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read verses 6 and 7, Brother Deacon.
Verse 6.
Uh-huh.
Which He shed on us abundantly
mm-hmm.
through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Our Lord.
That being justified by His grace.
And we shall read that from the Greek.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Read.
We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want you to listen a minute. And he's going to read verses 5, 6, and 7 from the Greek text. And those who have your Greek Bibles, turn to it. Now, the reason we do this, and we always would do this, is that in order to get to the intended cogitation,
mm-hmm.
you have much better material to work with
mm-hmm.
when you go to the original manuscripts. The Bible was written in Greek.
Yes, sir.
That is, the New Testament
mm-hmm.
was written in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And the English language is only about 500, not even 600 years old. Not the way we speak it now.
Amen.
Amen. Many things are always lost in translations, depending upon the persuasions and mindsets of those who are doing the translations.
Absolutely.
And so we go to the original text, go to the manuscripts, and of course somebody said, well, didn't you say that there are copies? Yes, in fact, there are copies of copies.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But we go to the best thing that is available to us in exegeting and explicating what is there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to either read, if you've got the Greek Bible, or listen very closely.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Deacon, I want you to read verses 3, 4, and 5, and, you know, read exactly like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know this now, the way it is, might not be the best flow of English,
mm-hmm.
but we want to actually read what's there, and then we'll work from there. All right, everybody got verses, listen if you don't have it, and if you have the Greek Bible, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5 of Titus.
All right.
Read.
Not by works in righteousness,
mm-hmm.
which did we, but according to the of him mercy,
mm-hmm.
he saved us.
All right.
Through washing
of regeneration
and renewal spirit.
Renewal spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Of what?
Holy.
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Renewal. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I want you to juxtapose that against what we have looked at here in the King James. See the difference? Renewal and renewing.
Right.
There's a difference there.
Amen.
All right, hold that, make that mark. We'll be back to that. It's going to take time. This is why I've allocated a year to basically this exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 6, Brother Deacon, and 7. We'll come back to verse 5.
Verse 6,
mm-hmm.
Greek text, which he shed on us richly, through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us,
mm-hmm.
in order that, being justified...
Note that difference there, being justified, read.
Being justified by thee of that one grace,
mm-hmm.
heirs we might become, according to a hope of life eternal.
Notice... We might become, we should become, we might become, and actually, that is in the perfect tense,
mm-hmm.
we might become, I'm sorry, that is a subjunctive aorist.
Okay.
We might become, subjunctive mood, there is a probability. This mm-hmm. is why they said might. But what's not expressed in the English is the aorist tense. It's a past completed action.
Yes, sir.
And of course, that doesn't make sense. When we speak from the vantage point of time, to speak of a past completed probability.
Right.
Amen. But we do have a past completed probability
mm-hmm.
when we can speak of it from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
The past completed aspect of it
yes.
is that God has already determined what it is.
Already.
Right.
The probability is... We don't know what it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we can read that.
Amen.
Might become, haven't become.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Those whom God has determined to be heirs will be heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And except for yourself, you don't know who else that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at me and say, well, I know the pastor's going to be saved because he's preaching down. No, that doesn't get it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The only evidence that you have is the Holy Spirit having witness to your spirit.
Your spirit. That's right.
Y'all don't hear me. That's because right. No man knows the spirit mm-hmm. of the thinking of another man except mm-hmm. the spirit that is in that man.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then, amen. I can assure you, and I can only do it by my testimony, that I am an heir of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you are too, mm-hmm. from your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But here we see it has nothing to do with you, and it is through God's mercy.
Yes.
You are saved by His mercy.
Thank God.
Amen. You are saved by His grace.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Irish tips, these are things that He did in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know the story of Esau and Jacob? Before they were twin. And it says he loved one.
Amen.
He loved Jacob and he hated Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And God made the decision before they were ever born.
He did it.
Huh?
Amen.
And when you look at it, amen, you see that all things are actualized by His decree in eternity.
Glory.
And corroboratively, this is why David could make the testimony uh-huh. that he knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly. Huh? Before I ever came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you cast the light of our knowledge on it, you can say He foreknew me.
Before
I was formed
in
the womb of my mother's belly. And Paul came along, say, even when I was out there persecuting the church, God had called me from my mother's womb.
Absolutely.
In other words, before I was born,
absolutely.
Amen, I was called to be an apostle.
That's right.
Huh? Amen. He called me to preach this gospel. I'm talking about Paul now. And I can say too, yes. Amen. Before the foundation of the world.
Sure. Sure.
There's no accident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, brother, you can go back to verse 5 one more time, the second part, and I'll probably just get into just a little bit of the introduction this morning. It may take me two or three to go through, but I want to preface what we're going to be dealing with for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important. Mm-hmm. Someone might say, well, Pastor, in light of what happened this week in New Orleans and Louisiana and in Mississippi and Alabama, why are we going through this morning? Why aren't we talking about something relevant? My friend, I can't think of anything else that is more relevant than what God has plan, what He has done, what He has designed, what He has purposed,
mm-hmm.
what He has implemented, and what is set in stone, not just etched in stone, is set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Your eternal relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Read that one more time from the Greek. Just the second part, Brother Deacon.
All right. Verse 5, second part.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the of Him mercy.
Kata. According to, are dominated by. Dominate. That.
Mm-hmm.
That. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Keep reading that. I don't want to get stuck there.
He saved us.
Mm-hmm.
Through washing of regeneration.
Through. This is how He did it. Through. Thea.
Mm-hmm.
Thea.
Mm-hmm.
Theolotros,
yes.
The washing,
mm-hmm.
the washing. And then, through the washing of what?
Regeneration.
All right, hear this word. Regeneration in the Greek. The Greek word, palie, nasios.
Mm-hmm.
It is a noun. It is in the genitive case.
Yes, yes, yes.
The genitive case speaks of that which shows ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the washing belongs to regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
The cleansing belongs to regeneration, as we shall see in the next months ahead.
Glory.
The justification belongs to regeneration, the sanctification, that they break down into components of, oh my God, have it like it's something that we are doing, amen. No, the sanctification belongs to regeneration. Regeneration comes from two words that means born or birthed and again. Birthed again. Now it gives the inference in some of our minds that regeneration is something. It is taught that way.
It is.
That we are moving toward.
Yes.
What does again mean? It means you are revisiting something that previously happened. So regeneration is not going forward. Amen. Except in this manifestation aspect. But through knowledge, we know that the new man was positioned in Christ before, amen, we were ever, amen, placed into these vile bodies. So the new man preceded the old man.
Amen. I got it.
Thank God.
Regeneration.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Regeneration.
Yes.
Birth. Born again. This is so important for us to know, because if it's something you're on your way to, something might interrupt it. But if it's something that's already happened, we can be secure in it. You're not on your way to heaven. Amen. You are in heaven because you are in the heavenlies in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, where Paul gives God, amen, extreme praise, amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has blessed us with what?
All
spiritual blessings. Oh, we're not talking about no house and car. And I mean, what happened in Louisiana should teach us something. New house, new car, amen. Anything could happen to your possessions. The only thing you really have that you possess is that which can never be taken away from you.
Never.
And that is an eternal stream.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, we must know these things and understand these things during our course of delivery to you. And by exposition, we shall talk about several things. Amen. We shall talk about the doctrine of preservation.
Amen.
Notice I didn't say perseverance.
No.
Amen.
No.
I don't. We don't teach that here.
No.
Amen. You're not perspiring to do nothing. Amen. It's done.
All right.
Preservation. We're going to speak about regeneration versus conversion.
All right, now.
Because they got them mixed up.
Really?
They call conversion regeneration and vice versa. And this is what have us messed up. And we think being saved and being converted is being regenerated. Being saved is the fact that you are regenerated.
Absolutely.
Being converted is something that belongs to manifestation in time.
All right.
We shall also talk about what we always talk about, and that's regeneration in respect to justification and sanctification. Because if we understand regeneration, then we will not put justification, not sanctification, in the mold of something that occurs in time. Then one I really got a bone to pick, and that's this decisional regeneration.
Come on.
We give, follow me here, we give altar calls, we give invitations, and people under the impression that they're sitting there making a decision whether they're going to be regenerated. Amen. We shall deal with it. You're not in Christ. You're not saved because you decided.
All right,
you didn't choose God. He chose you.
Yes.
And when he chose you, you were not around because he chose you in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shall look at the term, another one that just drives me up a wall. Amen. And it proves that bad doctrine begets other bad doctrine. If you got one part of the Bible wrong, it invariably leads you into other parts, error into other parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is this term, promissory regeneration.
Mm.
Here it deals with baptism, speaking of water baptism, as a sign and seal of the covenant of grace engrafting us into Christ.
Mm.
You did not get into the body of Christ. You're not saved because somebody performed a ceremony on you. Amen. Your sins being remitted has nothing to do with a decision that you made or an act of a ceremony that was performed upon you.
Amen.
You did not give your life to Christ.
Oh, my God.
It was yours to give or to keep. You decide whether you want to give it to Christ or whether you want to keep it yourself. Amen. Nor did you give up to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And walking in the newness of life is not what they purported to be. Amen. Regeneration is not the state of the old man having been reformed.
All right.
I think I said it again. Reformation is not regeneration.
All right.
Reformation has no influence as far as being a catalyst in regeneration.
All right. Now,
Now these varied thinking of thoughts, positions doctrinally, have induced baptisms as an entrance into the body of Christ, which brings up questions concerning infants.
All right. Now.
So many practice, not so much in the Protestant churches, but in the organized, institutionalized church of centuries ago, they practiced infant baptism, which they call infant regeneration. In other words, if you baptize the baby at birth, that was saving. And then some of it has come over to our today, and I always have to, when we bless a child, go through the ceremony, and we'll do it. That's, I have no problem with it as long as we understand what we're doing.
Right.
Amen. That baby is spoken for in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And what we're doing when we're blessing the baby, or so-called, someone called it Christendom, and I won't use that term. Amen. You can't make nobody no Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you're doing that, none of this. We're gonna deal with all of these things. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're going to break down some components of this Greek word, born, birth. We're going to look at some of the derivatives of it. Begotten. The word begotten. What does it mean? This is expressed concerning Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand the terminology. But the grammar will help us out a lot as we read through these various words and look at their declensions when they are expressed as nouns, adjectives, or participles, and we will look at their character when they are expressed as verbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we shall look at the four re's. Regeneration.
Yes, sir.
Resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Reconciliation.
Yep.
Amen.
We shall look at these terms and notice the prefix there, re, always pointing not forward to something you're moving toward,
mm-hmm.
but back to something that has already occurred.
Mm-hmm.
regeneration as it relates to, as we said, justification and sanctification. We shall look at the word change in relationship to what it really means in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that it really should be rendered exchange instead of change. There is no metamorphosis of the old man into the new man.
Right.
Amen. When we read Paul's writings on other parts of Corinthians, he speaks of this body being destroyed.
Yeah.
You know the verse, if this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, or when it is destroyed. Amen. So the old man is destroyed.
Yeah.
The old man is not transformed into the new man.
Right.
And we have problems because we mix the old man up with the new man.
Right.
There's a distinction between them. Amen. So we shall look at all of these things. Thus, some of the other doctrinal subjects, and give me about 10 or 12 minutes here. We're going to run just a little over this morning. I guarantee you, I won't hold you here all day. We got all year to do this. We should look at assurance, atonement, baptism. Caught a lot of flack because I made some bold statements. I'll make it again.
Go ahead.
We have a pool that's under here.
Right,
it is plywood over.
Mm-hmm.
It is nail shut. It is carpeted over.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And as long as I'm pastor, it's going to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We didn't take it out in case we ever sell this building. Amen. The next church come, if they want to practice the ceremony, fine. There's so much controversy about it.
Yeah.
Until we made a decision, we won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Cause, do you sprinkle? Do you submerge? What do you say when you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all ceremonies in time that has nothing to do
mm-hmm.
with regeneration in eternity.
Okay.
Oh my God!
Right.
We shall look at creation
mm-hmm.
versus eternity.
Mm-hmm.
We shall look at election and the locale of it.
Whoa.
Eternal security.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, do you believe in eternal security?
Mm-hmm.
What an absurd question.
Mm-hmm.
If it's eternal, then it's secure.
Yeah.
How can you say one word without the other?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of eternity, there is no security.
Man.
The only type of security is eternal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should look at faith. What role it plays or does not play. We shall look at grace. We shall look at imputation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how we love the Asians.
Mm-hmm.
We shall look at justification. We shall look at, as we said, the four Re's: reconciliation, regeneration, resurrection, and redemption, I guess. We shall set the record straight that sanctification is not a process.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sanctification does not deal with your state of conduct.
All right.
That is maturation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That is maturing
mm-hmm.
manifestly. Sanctification, if it means to be set apart, God does not do it in stages.
No, no,
amen.
No, no.
He didn't in eternity. Look at that clock. All right. Give me about 10 minutes here. We're going to bail out for the day. I want you to take your document. The scripture doctrine of regeneration. Does everyone have one? Ushers, make sure everyone has one. This document. I've got an extra one here. Amen. The scriptural doctrine of regeneration. In parentheses, we have eternal justification and sanctification. Amen. We must place all of these things into the proper perspective. Here we begin with the introduction of the prolegomenon. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. For those who are listening on the website and elsewhere, you are... We shall have this document up within a couple of weeks, maybe the first 10 or 15 pages of it on the website. You only have 4 pages of it this morning. And here, what we state is that a cogent evaluation of the doctrine of regeneration exemplifies the fact that the Holy Spirit sovereignly regenerated the elect in the eternal sphere. Spiritual regeneration militates or fights against all concepts of synergism. Synergism is when we teach that man must cooperate with God to get the job done. God can't save you without your cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what synergism is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby a man cooperates with God in salvation, and it also testifies against the initiation of either is full, that is, regeneration's full, a partial conferment in the sphere of time. Amen. No part of regeneration occurs in time.
All right.
Amen. Eternal placement identifies regeneration as the work of God alone through the Holy Spirit in the unbridled spectrum wherein no one else existed.
Mm-hmm.
This leads to the correct analysis of the scriptures, which is in stark contrast to what most denominational doctrines force in their propagation of various sacramental concepts of what they believe to be the actual process of regeneration.
Yes.
In these variations of doctrinal concepts, the contentions do not mainly focus on whether God works directly through the Holy Spirit in effectuating such, but as to what operants are the catalysts in its process. That is, what are the indispensable ingredients of enactments generating to the reaction of its recipients entering it into it?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what distinguishes its illumination by the Word of God as regeneration by the Holy Spirit versus the erroneous perception of sinners seeking God by divine means as a preparatory step of his process in the sphere of time. The majority of Orthodox teaching purports that it was the original purpose of God that all men, and we'll come back to this next week, this is where we'll start, all men were created primarily to exalt or glorify God, the Creator. That is a perception. With this mindset, most view the entrance of sin into the world as an undetermined or even an unexpected occurrence, precipitating the fall of Adam and through it the succession of mankind's ability and desire solely to magnify God. It is further taught that in order to regain that ability and to correct the awful course of sin in creation in general, and men's soul particularly, God had in eternity proposed a contingency plan, of salvation through Jesus Christ. Because either foreknew by looking down at the time that something could possibly go wrong, or he expeditiously devised his master plan of redemption subsequent to Adam's fall. They're all over the place with this. In continuation of this cognitive pattern, it is asserted that in the sphere of time, through the course of redeeming us, God has exalted his love, grace, power, and justice to new heights of beauty, wherein even though he did not previously plan it that way, he excelled and gained the victory with his master plan of restoring mankind back either to the pre-sin status and relationship of Adam or to the image of Christ, dependent upon, and this is the worst part, one's acceptance of God's redemptive plan.
Mm-hmm.
It is strictly in this sense that the view of regeneration as the work of God's Holy Spirit in the souls of human, enabling them to see their sinfulness and perils, to behold the beauty of the Savior, so that they can receive. You see, he has man in the driver's seat, in a determinate posture there. Then he can praise and worship God again. And We shall deal with all of these aspects as we go forward, amen, as we conclude today. But why are we going through all of this? Why are we talking about the political aspect? Why am I not up here hollering and screaming? Why it took 3 days for him to get down there and rescue the people from the plight that they were in? Why am I not calling for some protest or some march? Why aren't we focusing on defeating effort? Well, we shall. We're going to do something. When I close here, before we close out, we're going to take an offering, amen, for those refugees down there. Brother Charlie is going to see that it gets to, actually gets there to help. We're going to do that, amen. But our priority must be mm-hmm. on the everlasting, eternal aspect of what God, amen, has arranged and actualized in his decree mm-hmm. in eternity, which it overshadows every catastrophe.
Oh, yes.
Y'all don't hear me.
Oh, yeah.
It overshadows, oh, yeah. amen, every incident of annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God controls the wind. He controls. Oh, yes, he does.
Yes,
he controls the storm. God was in complete control. God did not lose control of Katrina. Huh? Oh, my God. Huh?
Yes.
He's always been in control. He is in control.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A flight of the wings, left wing, unless God, amen, amen, causes it to occur. And so, amen, he said, well, God behind this, absolutely it is part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. Why would God do this? And why would God do this? And it can't be. We can't say God is good and then all of these things are happening. My friend, if you just focus on the depraved nature and the forces of it and how God, amen, has devised everything in relationship to it. And if you can see from the eternal end, the glorious blessing of what God has done and what God has arranged,
right.
You will see, amen, that we come out on the best end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. This is why we have to look at the tone picture, the tone essence,
yes.
amen. And when you're able to do that, you don't get caught up in the moment, in the heat, amen, of the situations, and lose sight. But you do like the old people used to do, amen. And I don't know what they were thinking about, but when you look at regeneration, and when you look at the essence of what God has done in eternity, we can surely sing the song of hold to his hand.
Yeah.
God's unchanging hand. Amen. Can you say hold? Can you say hold? To God's. To God's. Unchanging hand. Can you say hold? Hold. Hold. To God's. Unchanging hand. And then the song goes on to say and to speak that you should place your affection
yep.
on things above.
Yeah.
On things eternal. Huh?
Yes.
And it goes to place your joy, your aspiration, I'm paraphrasing, on things eternal.
Yes.
Can you say eternal?
Eternal?
Can you say eternal?
Yes.
Hold!
Oh.
Hold! To God, a change of hands, amen, regeneration, justification, sanctification will cause you to hold to God, a change of hands, regardless of what is going on. This is why our focus is on eternity, because it's about him. It has always been about him.
Yes.
It's always will be about him.
Hallelujah.
We shall continue
yes,
and continue and continue in the coming weeks the scripture doctrine of regeneration.
Whoa.
God bless you.